Please be seated. At originally scheduled for today's hearing, we were going to begin with three cases. Numbers 2014-882, 2014-884, and 2014-1036. My understanding is that numbers 14-882 and 14-884 have been settled. And so we will proceed this morning with the argument of 14-1032, after which we'll take a brief 5-minute recess, and then the second argument today will be heard by Master Commissioner Long. So let's have case number 2014-1032, Lutheran Services of Central Ohio Village Housing versus Franklin County Board of Revision. The appellant is the Board of Education. Ms. Allison.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Kim Ellison, and I am with the Rich and Gillis Law Group. I'm here this morning on behalf of the Board of Education of the Southwestern City School District. At this point, I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. Okay, thank you. The decision of the Board of Tax Appeals in this case is erroneous, and it must be reversed for 4 reasons. The first reason, as the appellant before the Board of Tax Appeals, the property owners had the burden to produce new evidence to the Board of Tax Appeals to prove their right to a reduction from the value determinations made by the Board of Revision. The property owners clearly failed to meet this burden. As the complainants before the Board of Revision, the property owners attempted to meet their initial burden by submitting 2 appraisal reports prepared by Don Miller. Because the rent and sale comparables utilized in the reports were too old to be considered comparable to the subject properties, the Board of Revision rejected Mr. Miller's reports and affirmed the auditor's values.
Now, is this one of those cases where the Board of Revision noted on the record the reason?
They did. On their hearing audio, it clearly states in both cases that it was because the comps were too old. The property owners appealed the Board of Revision's decisions to the Board of Tax Appeals, and despite the fact that the property owners failed to meet their burden of producing new evidence to the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Tax Appeals reversed the decisions of the Board of Revision and reduced the value of the properties to the values opined by Mr. Miller in his reports. Recently, this court has consistently held that an appellant before the Board of Tax Appeals must produce new evidence on appeal in order to prove their right to a reduction from the value determinations made by the Board of Revision. Specifically, in East Bank, this court stated, quote, when a party appeals a Board of Revision's decisions to the Board of Tax Appeals, the appellant, whether it be the taxpayer or the Board of Education, has the burden to prove its right to an increase or decrease in the Board of Revision's determination of value. End quote. The court went on to state, quote, to meet the burden, East Bank presented testimony from its managing partner and appraiser. The Board of Revision adopted East Bank's valuation, thereby shifting the burden of going forward with the evidence to the Board of Education on appeal. In East Bank 2, the court reaffirmed that a party appealing to the Board of Tax Appeals has the burden of producing new evidence to meet their burden of proof. Specifically, the court stated, quote, this court has already thoroughly considered the burden of proof issue in our first decision. The issue was a subject of much discussion and debate in this court's competing opinions. And all 7 judges agreed, albeit for different reasons, that the school board needed to offer additional evidence before the Board of Tax Appeals. Subsequently, in North Point, this court stated, quote, under these circumstances, the Board of Revision's adopting a new value based on Carroll's testimony shifted the burden of going forward with evidence to the Board of Education. Since no new evidence was presented at the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Tax Appeals should have retained the BOR's proper valuation of the property. In this case, the property owners presented no new evidence before the Board of Tax Appeals, but chose instead to rely on the statutory transcript. Therefore, they clearly met their burden of producing new evidence under East Bank. Even if this court declines to apply East Bank in this case and to hold that property owners are held to a different standard than boards of education and are not required to produce new evidence in order to prevail, the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals must still be reversed. The second reason that the Board of Tax Appeals decision must be reversed is that the BTA failed to evaluate the evidence before it. So despite the fact that the burden of producing new evidence was on the property owners, the Board of Education in this case chose to present the appraisal review testimony of Mr. Tom Sprout, who appeared before the Board of Tax Appeals. Mr. Sprout's evidence was produced to further show that Miller's appraisal reports were not competent probative evidence of value.
Let me go back to your first proposition.
Sure.
If a property owner or a Board of Education puts appraisal evidence before the Board of Revision, mm-hmm. The Board of Revision then, in a case like the present, rejects that evidence mm-hmm. and retains the auditor's valuation. The BTA's duty on appeal will be to look at the entire record, including the evidence that was presented to the BOR.
And I think that's true. But I think once the Board of Revision rejects the evidence, I mean, the court's decisions in East Bank going forward say that the new evidence has to be presented on appeal. So to hold, in our, it'd be our opinion, that to hold that the same standard doesn't apply to property owners would be a double standard.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that podium.
I did not think over. Okay.
My recollection, though, is that in many of those cases, the property owners had presented evidence and the Board of Education had not.
That's correct.
The BOR.
That's
so
correct.
They're distinguishable in that respect.
They are, but you know, the auditor's value itself is entitled to a prima facie probative value. So to say that, you know, the Board of Education's rejected evidence is somehow more probative than that just seems like it shouldn't be the case. Okay, so Mr. Sprout physically inspected the subject properties. He reviewed both of Mr. Miller's reports and conducted market research regarding the propriety of Miller's comparables. Recently, in this court's decision in Sears, they recognized the probative nature of appraisal review testimony. Specifically, the court stated, quote, even if a Board of Education elects not to commission its own appraisal, it might, in a proper case, offer a different type of evidence, an expert review of the owner's appraisal. Here, the school board claims that the owner's appraisal is deeply flawed. Under such circumstances, the school board could hire an expert to perform an appraisal review to highlight the errors. An appraisal review performed by an expert would make a greater claim on the BTA's attention because it would constitute conflicting evidence. That is exactly what was done in this case. In rendering its decision in this case, however, the Board of Tax Appeals failed to evaluate the evidence presented by the Board of Education. In fact, they refused to acknowledge it at all. In its decision, the BTA specifically states that it considered these cases upon the notice of appeal, the transcript certified by the Board of Revision, and the written arguments submitted by the parties. There's absolutely no mention of the evidence presented by the Board of Education in this case. Further, its decision states, the BTA holds that based upon a review of the property owner's appraisal evidence, which provides an opinion of value as of the tax lien date, was prepared for valuation purposes, and attested to by a qualified expert, that the appraisals are competent and probative evidence. Again, no mention of the evidence that was submitted by the Board of Education. So this is not a case where the Board of Tax Appeals relied upon the only evidence before it. It was actually presented with competing evidence, and yet it failed to evaluate that evidence. Again, recently in Sears, this court noted that in cases where conflicting evidence is presented, the Board of Tax Appeals has a clear duty to evaluate the evidence and specify what evidence it relied upon in making its decision. The court therein distinguished cases involving the straightforward adoption of the opinion of value from the only appraisal in the record. Further, the court drew a distinction between the Board of Tax Appeals' duty to evaluate the evidence versus its duty to evaluate the arguments. The court stated specifically, quote, to be sure, we have held that the school board may, in the proper case, discredit appraisal testimony through cross-examination and argument. We do not infer from that disposition that the BTA has a duty to discuss every mere contention as opposed to evidence attacking the validity of the appraisal. So in this case, since the Board of Education submitted appraisal review evidence that was not evaluated or even acknowledged by the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Tax Appeals' decision must be reversed.
Now, do you see this as a case for reversal with the implication that the auditor's value is reinstated, or do you see this as a situation where we would remand to the BTA?
I think it should be remanded to the Board of Tax Appeals, and with the instructions that they actually evaluate the evidence before them and consider what arguments they relied upon. The third reason that the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals must be reversed is that the Board of Tax Appeals erroneously reversed the Board of Revision's conclusions that the property owner's appraisals were not competent probative evidence without any explanation as to why the Board of Revision's determinations were erroneous. They specifically only determined that Miller's, I'm sorry, the Board of Revision specifically determined that Miller's rent comps and sales comps were not sufficiently comparable to the subject, and therefore the report was flawed, and they rejected the report. The Board of Tax Appeals does not acknowledge this in their decision either. They merely affirm Miller's reports because, again, it was testified to by a qualified expert, and the rest of the language that the Board of Tax Appeals now routinely uses. The fourth and final reason that the Board of Tax Appeals' decision is erroneous and must be reversed is that it fails to explain its departure from past precedent. In the Cambridge Arm case, the BTA specifically rejected an appraisal of subsidized housing projects for the elderly, just like the subject properties, because the appraisal did not make the necessary adjustments to the rent comparables. Specifically, the Board of Tax Appeals stated, while adjustments downward were made for the amenities such as clubroom, in no case were adjustments made upward based upon the fact that the subject property appears to be newer and appears to have amenities desired by the elderly and necessary for the handicapped. Therefore, the board finds that the market rent is not supported by the evidence. The BTA's decision in Cambridge Arms was affirmed by this court and has subsequently been relied upon by the Board of Tax Appeals until this decision. So they have specifically found that an appraisal report that doesn't value the common areas of the property and that doesn't use comparables, especially in situations such as the subject, you know, rent-subsidized housing for the elderly, is not competent probative evidence. In this case, the BTA offers no explanation why suddenly the flawed reports are sufficient to justify a reduction in value. For all the foregoing reasons, the Board of Education respectfully requests this court reverse the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals and reinstate the Franklin County Auditor's original appraised value of $1,250,000 for Village Place and $1,456,000 for Stratford Place because the property owners have failed to present any competent probative evidence to justify a reduction, or in the alternative, the Board of Education requests that this court remand these appeals to the Board of Tax Appeals with instructions to evaluate the evidence and set forth the specific evidence it relied upon in rendering its decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Allison. Mr. Pirtle.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much, Tim Pirtle, for the property owner. In this situation, the Board of Tax Appeals issued a decision for the two properties. It was reasonable and lawful, and this court should affirm it. The appraiser, Don Miller, he appraised the two properties. He used reasonable rent comparables. He used reasonable sales comparables. As he states in his appraisal, the income comparison approach was the main method. Although some of the comparables are older, in this particular neighborhood, they aren't building new properties. These two properties are capital advance properties. And there are other newer properties in the area, but they're primarily subsidized. In this part of town, people with money to invest aren't going to build new apartment buildings. They're going to go into different parts of town. So your comparables are either, if any are newer than the subject, they're almost all subsidized housing. And, of course, you can't get market rent from subsidized housing because their income is government payments. And the older properties that he used as comparables, they're the best comparables there were in close proximity to the subject properties. So we
think. But doesn't the BTA have a duty, though, assuming that were true, to evaluate this contrary testimony that was presented at the BTA and say why it's right or wrong?
Well, I don't believe so. There's two cases. One of them, the Board of Education put out as recent authority the Sears case, and it states right in there that the Board of Tax Appeals does not have to produce findings of fact. So I do not believe that's the case. If they think it's relevant, it's up to the Board of Tax Appeals, in other words. I think it's their decision.
But, I mean, you would acknowledge there are cases where this court has said, in looking at the record and the decision, the court is unable to determine the reasonableness or lawfulness because there's not enough discussion of the evidence in the BTA's decision.
Oh, I would certainly acknowledge that, sir.
Why would that not apply here?
Well, I believe because the appraisals are good, they're competent, they're probative. If there were problems with the appraisals, then the Board of Tax Appeals would need to discuss the Board of Education's witnesses' testimony and exhibits. But here, there weren't really problems with the appraisals. They're good. There's issues about The Board of Education brings up issues about the age and the common area, and I was going to discuss that those aren't really issues.
Okay, well, what about the common area?
Okay.
What about that point?
Common area. The subject properties do have common area. The comparable properties, the rent comparables, likewise have common area. For instance, three of them have clubhouses, there are exercise rooms, laundry rooms. If you had subjects with a lot of common area and comparables with none, you might say, well, maybe they're not comparable. But here, the rent comparables have common area as well. I think that if someone thought the common area issue was a problem, what the Board of Education's witness could have done was prepared a chart and said, here are the common areas on the two subject properties, here are the common areas and the comparables, and because comparing the two, they're not comparable. But I think that didn't happen because that's not the case. As a matter of fact, the Board of Education's witness stated in his written report and his testimony that while he inspected the two subject properties, he did not inspect any of the comparables. So he says, oh, they're too old. Well, did he look at them? What kind of shape are they in? There are homes in Arlington and Bexley older than anything comparable, sell for $1 million. Southern Arlington by Jones Middle School, there are a bunch of beautiful brick and stone apartment buildings built in the 20s and 30s, still in fantastic shape. So while age is an issue, it's not the only issue. If an old property is in great shape, it's still going to be very valuable. And since the Board of Education's witness did not inspect the comparables, all he's saying is, hey, these are old. But again, there are a lot of old properties in town that are very valuable, very well maintained. Okay. All right. I'll proceed then. The Board of Education filed the notice of appeal, saying the Board of Tax Appeals' decision is an error. And they filed a brief to convince this court of that. On page one of the Board of Education's brief, they state that Miller used five sales to value the subject property. He did use the sales comparison approach in his appraisal, but he has the same language in both appraisals. Referring to the income capitalization approach, with respect to the subject, this is the most appropriate valuation approach. And in discussion of the sales comparison approach, this is used primarily to support the market value opinion. So while the Board of Education is emphasizing the sales comparison approach, Miller clearly used the income approach to value the property and used the sales comparison approach as a support and a check. Also on the first page of the Board of Education's brief, they state that Miller's most comparable rental property, which he used to estimate market rents for the subject, was a 288 square foot fabricated efficiency Cardinal apartment. And looking at page 24 of this draft replace appraisal rent comparable 5, there is an apartment reference that has 288 square feet, but that's an efficiency apartment. Then it lists one-bedroom apartments, two-bedroom apartments. The next page of the appraisal report, draft replace, page 25, is a chart that lists the comparables that he used, the survey, and the size of comparables, 576 to 710. He clearly did not use the 288 square foot apartment. It's referenced here in the information, the property data for the rent comparable, but he didn't use it. The Board of Education mentions that on the first page. They reference that heavily in their brief later, and it's simply not the case. The Board of Education later emphasizes the sales comparison approach. As I stated earlier, Miller emphasized the income approach. And they also say that Miller did not make any adjustments to the sales comparisons. What I did, I pulled both pages out of the appraisals, Village Place, Stratford Place. He lists all five of the sales comparables, and as far as adjustments, he makes sales adjustments. Property rights, financing terms, conditions of sale, marketing conditions, property adjustments, location, age, size, quality. So he clearly made adjustments in the rent comparables. Again, whereas the Board of Education says he did not. Later on, page 7 of the Board of Education's brief, the second full paragraph, they state, to give this court some idea as to the utter lack of any credibility in Miller's appraisals, Miller claimed the most comparable rental property to Village Place was a 288 square foot property, which I just mentioned. That there are just errors in the Board of Education's brief. Miller clearly did not use that. It's referenced as property data for one apartment unit. That's all there is to that. And as far as the common area, you asked that question earlier. I want to discuss that in a little bit more detail. The comparable properties I mentioned, Miller has a chart for each comparable property in the rental comparables listing the factors that the comparable properties have. Again, several of them have clubhouses, exercise facilities. They have common area there. And my thought is that if the Board of Education's witness really thought there was an issue, he would have put together a chart that I mentioned saying, here's the comparable, the common area and the comparables, common area and the subject. Other issues with the common area. Fact, he didn't view the comparables, so he doesn't know how much common area the comparables have. You know, he's saying they don't have any. Well, he didn't view them. How would he know? And as far as the common area, if the subjects have common area, sure, it's got some value. They would not have built it if it didn't have value. But how can you place a value on? How can an appraiser place a value on it? In other words, he's valuing the property as it is on a certain date. You could take the common area. You could retrofit it. You can't rent out hallways if hallways are wider. You can't rent out stairwells. You can't rent out elevator shafts. If there was an empty room they were using for something else, you know, meeting room, theoretically they could convert that to an apartment. They'd have to retrofit it. They'd have to put in a plumbing. They'd have to put in a bathroom, and that would require costs. So if the appraiser is appraising the property as is of a certain date, you need to appraise it as is. Board of Education's witness emphasized the age of the properties. I mentioned that again. In this particular neighborhood, Miller used the best rental comparables that he could find. There are, you know, 400, 500,000 parcels in Franklin County. Clearly, a witness could come in and criticize an appraisal and pick some other comparables and say, hey, these are better. But you know, the comparables that Miller used were fine. They were adequate. As far as the age, the Board of Education's witness came up with seven more, I think three for Village Place and four for Stratford. He said these are comparables I would have used. But none of them are newer than the subjects. I think the fact that the Board of Education's witness was emphasizing age, but the rental comparables he came up with were not newer than the subject, simply reiterates the fact that there simply aren't new properties in these neighborhoods. Board of Education, in their proposition of law number 2, said that the BTA must base their decision on probative evidence. I believe that Miller's appraisals are probative evidence, income approach, and with the sales comparison approach supporting that. Board of Education's proposition of law number 3, the BTA must determine facts, 57-1701, put in the decision. The Board of Education put some additional authority, the Sears case, paragraph 15. The heading above paragraph 15 in that case states the BTA has no duty to issue findings of fact and conclusions of law. Another case this court put out recently, Columbus City Schools, 2015, Ohio 3633, states in paragraph 22, well, the heading above paragraph 22 again states, the BTA is not required to issue formal findings of fact and conclusions of law. So I think that's set. As far as the Board of Education's claim that the Board of Tax Appeals has to address each issue raised, I think that really falls under the findings of fact discussion that we just had. As for the points brought up this morning, the first point was that the owners didn't present new evidence to the Board of Tax Appeals. I think the Board of Tax Appeals does a trial de novo. They review the evidence before it. I don't think there's any requirement that a property owner present new evidence at the Board of Tax Appeals if they presented their evidence at the Board of Revision. In fact, the appraiser testified at the Board of Revision, presented his appraisal reports. I thought it would be a waste of time for him to show up at the Board of Tax Appeals and say the same thing he said at the Board of Revision. It's trial de novo. I don't think it's necessary. As far as the BTA failed to evaluate the evidence, they didn't discuss in their decision, but I believe they evaluated the evidence when they analyzed the case and wrote their decision. The no explanation argument, I believe I mentioned the cases that say the BTA isn't required to present finding the facts. And failure to explain, you talked about the Cambridge case. I think each of those cases have to be looked at separately. The Cambridge case did say that there was some common area that the Board of Tax Appeals should have explained, should have discussed. But again, I think it's a case-by-case basis. I think someone would look at these properties and say, well, sure, there's some common area, but you know, is it inordinate? Does it have any separate value? And again, I think if it had separate value, the Board of Education's witness would have done some type of analysis and said, here's the value, here's what this common area brings to the table, here's what these properties are worth. And while the Board of Education's witness testified, he didn't come up with any values. He just criticized the property owner's appraiser and the work he did. And again, I don't think he presented enough adequate evidence to do that. Discussed the age issue. He couldn't come up with newer comparables himself, any newer than the subject properties. And that's all I have, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Pirtle. Ms. Allison, you've reserved 3 minutes and 43 seconds.
So the property owners in this case spent considerable time and effort arguing for the sufficiency of Miller's reports. This is exactly why the Board of Tax Appeals should be required to evaluate the evidence and to state what evidence it relies upon in rendering its decision. The property owner argues that the Board of Education should have made a chart. Was that the reason the Board of Tax Appeals didn't accept the appraisal review testimony? We just can't tell from reading the decision. Mr. Sprout physically inspected the properties. He reviewed both of Mr. Miller's reports, and he conducted market research regarding the propriety of Mr. Miller's comparables. His testimony before the Board of Tax Appeals highlighted the errors in Miller's appraisal reports and further supported the Board of Revision's conclusions that Miller's reports did not constitute competent probative evidence of value. The Board of Tax Appeals had a duty to evaluate that evidence and state why it chose not to consider or even acknowledge the presence of the evidence. This is true, as previously stated, especially in cases like this where conflicting evidence is presented and the Board of Tax Appeals actually reversed the decisions of the Board of Revision. We have no idea why they did not find the Board of Revision's conclusions that Miller's comps were too old. We don't know why they didn't agree with that. The Sears case in this case is directly on point. It recognizes, in Sears, the court recognizes the probative nature of the appraisal review testimony, and it clearly states that the Board of Tax Appeals has a duty to evaluate the evidence, not the arguments, but the evidence presented by the parties. With that, we would just request that this case be reversed or remanded. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Allison. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision. We'll now take a 5-minute recess.
All rise.